Okay, got it. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Sorry about that. Online students, welcome, 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 welcome. We were just making a comment about the Prosperity Revival on last week and how excited we are. I was preparing for this class, and you know, I'm being sensitive. I'm learning to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and I only want to do what He wants me to do as far as this class is concerned. I want y'all to know that. But can I share something else with y'all? We're going to get to chapter 6. I promise you we're going to get to chapter 6. But I have to share it with you because it was such a blessing to me. I was just thumbing through the channels last night. And yeah, I came under conviction when Dr. Leroy Jr. Talked about people who thumb through the television. You know, he says he's exact. He knows what he wants to see, and he goes directly to that channel. Well, I like to surf every now and then, you know, to surf the channel. But I happened to run across, how many of you know Brother DePlantis, Jesse DePlantis? And Brother DePlantis was on. And I've forgotten the exact topic, but he started talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. He said God asked him, why was that so important? You know, why do I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost? Why do I want you to pray in tongues? And he gave him an answer. And it was a good answer. But he said God began to tell him that it's so important because our language, English, French, Spanish, Swahili, it's not sufficient to be able to communicate with God. And he said, when we get to the end of what we know to say, okay, and then we start praying in the Holy Ghost, then the Holy Spirit is helping us to pray. And then he said, who know better how to praise God than the Holy Spirit? Amen. Who know how to petition God better than the Holy Spirit? He is God. Amen. And so when we are praying in the Holy Ghost, when we are praying in tongues, we are allowing the Holy Spirit to pray to God through our born again, recreated human spirit. That is so important. You know, you have to understand, we can't do it on our own. Our language, that's what he was saying. Our language is just not, I'm not going to say it's not it's not sufficient. You know, because we'll bless God, we'll thank God, we'll praise God, hallelujah. You know, we can only go so far. But the Holy Spirit knows and speaks the language of God. And he knows how to communicate with God on our behalf. Let me prove it to you. Romans chapter 8. I heard Pastor Walker. I heard him. I mean, it's got to be God. Amen? Amen. We all going down the same street here. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, he is the one who's doing the speaking. Amen. Maketh intercession for us with groanings. Our language can't do it. We can't do it. Our language just can't do it. With groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. 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 So, I mean, I was just blessed, and I hope you got blessed just by, you know, understanding just a little bit more about praying in tongues and why it is so important. Amen. Amen. Because you are allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you. It is no longer just you. Amen. Amen. It is the Holy Spirit himself praying to God through you. And then the icing on the cake, I'm getting ready for class, and I'm printing out my stuff on my computer, and I run across principles and benefits of speaking in tongues that were given to us by our apostle on last year. Now, second-year students, you've had this, you've heard this, you're not going to remember it, amen? Because I was just like, oh, yeah, I remember this. And, our scripture was 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Amen. Howbeit, in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Amen. And then I'm going to read off. You're not going to be able to write them all down. Listen to the video. You'll get them again. But these were principles that Apostle gave us, and benefits. I'm sorry, he gave us benefits, and I added some principles of speaking in tongues. He says, praying in tongues opens the heavens and charges the atmosphere. Amen? Amen. Opens the heavens and charges the atmosphere. Then another one, he said, praying in tongues opens the heavens, and it creates an atmosphere for the release of the Shekinah glory. Creates an atmosphere for the release of the Shekinah glory. Praying in tongues magnify God. The bigger God gets, the smaller the devil will be. And the smaller your problems will be. Amen? Amen. Praying in tongues enlarges your perception of God's power in your life. Amen? I don't know if you've ever noticed that. I mean, you know, when you... And we're going to get to that prayerless praying. But, you know, when you earnestly, I like that. When you earnestly praying and you have confident, that's what we learned that on Sunday, y'all, expectation. Amen. I mean, it creates an atmosphere. And then all of a sudden, you know, what you're dealing with does not feel as big as it felt before you started praying. Pay attention to that when you're praying. When you pray in tongues, it activates angels. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're praying heavenly language, and they hear you, and they understand you. Amen? They're heavenly beings. So it activates angels. And then he had a note. He said, supernatural is not an event, but it's a lifestyle. Praying in tongues is the entrance into the supernatural. It is the gateway into the spirit realm when we pray in tongues. Amen? Amen. Praying in tongues is the key that unlocks the spirit world. When you pray in tongues, you're automatically in the spirit. You're entering God's miracle zone. Praying in tongues, these are all principles and benefits. Praying in tongues is a direct line to God. Praying in tongues is speaking divine mysteries, divine coded secrets. Amen? When you pray in tongues, you are praying the secret will or secret plan of God. Secrets or plans will be made known to you when you pray in other tongues. Amen? Amen. Praying in tongues will impart blessings and impact your life. You're prophesying your God-ordained future when you pray in tongues. You are making a path of blessing and power for you to walk in and to enjoy. Praying in tongues is praying things concealed to be revealed, concealed from you for you. Amen. Amen. Concealed from you, but it's for you. You know, God can't tell us everything, you know, because sometimes we'll get overexcited. We'll mess it up. You know, let's say he tell us, next year this time you have $1 million. You know, we going around, we looking up in everybody's face. You the one, you know, and then some of us going to even try to make it happen, you know. So he have to give us just a little bit of it at time. But remember now, when we pray in tongues and we're praying in the Holy Ghost, we don't always know what we're saying unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. Sometimes we get a little inkling, you know, and you just, yeah, Lord. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I receive that. You know, because as you're praying, he's going to begin to speak to you. But he can't give us the whole thing. He give it to us because that's why faith is required. He'll give us like a little bit at a time, just a little bit at a time. And then when you know it one day, there you are. Amen. It'll have whatever it is. You know, if it's healing, you know, same thing. You know, we know a little bit about healing now. We know that it's already done.
Yes, yes.
Amen. So we're not asking God to heal us. We're just telling him we know with Jesus' stripes we already healed, and all I need from you is my pathway. Yes. How do you want to do this?
Hallelujah.
What my next step is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you want me to go? Which doctor you want me to see? Which medicine you want me to take? You don't want me to take that law? You know, these are the kind of things that's all we're looking for, because our healing is a done deal. Already done. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So that's all I wanted to tell y'all about baptism in the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. And it was just on me, and it was just so good. And it's like, well, I need to share that with them because it was such a blessing to me. But I do want to encourage all of our students here and all of our students online to pray. You got to pray, and you got to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Pray much. As you experienced last week, Apostle, he's just at another level. And he wants so bad for us to receive. God has given him so much. He wants us to be able to receive it. As students in this school, he wants you to be able to receive it. Amen? The best way is to be prayed up. Enlarge your capacity to receive from our man of God by praying. As I said, when you come to class, pray on your way to class. Get yourself ready. You know, we're going to get to a chapter, and he's going to be telling us about, you know, those prayers on the run. You know, we think we're praying. We're not doing nothing. He called that prayerless praying. Dr. Montrell called it vain babblings, and I call it empty words. Just empty words. And we're going to learn. We got to be sincere. Amen. We got to be persistent. Playing time is over. This is real. I'm going to say real church. I can use that word, huh? Real church. Real church. Yeah. We're not playing church no more. We're looking to have a sincere relationship with God so that God's will can be accomplished in the earth realm through us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Chapter 6. Persistence in prayer. Now, Mr. Bounds, our author, he uses this word importunity, and he uses it a lot in this chapter. But I just want you to understand that all it means is persistence. Think of the words persistence and persevere when you think of the word importunity, all right? He begins by saying, throughout Christ's ministry, he made it clear that importunity, or persistent demand, or a demand made repeatedly or insistently, is a distinguishing characteristic of true praying. So he's saying true praying, so there must be, like I said, some false praying, right?
Yeah.
All right. We must not only pray, but we must also pray with great urgency, with intensity, and with repetition. We must not get tired of praying. We must be thoroughly in earnest, deeply concerned about the things for which we ask. But Jesus Christ made it very plain that the secret of prayer and its success lie in its urgency. We must, and I capitalize it and bold it, press, P-R-E-S-S. We must press our prayers upon God. Amen? So, you know, the main thing here, you know, we just got to be earnest and we got to be sincere. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. You don't want to look at prayer as just this duty that I'm trying to fulfill. trying to perform, you know, getting there and, okay, I'm going to pray these here 15 minutes. They told me to pray 15 minutes. I'm going to pray 15 minutes. And your heart is not in it. Your mind is not in it. You know, Mr. Bowen said we must not only pray, but we must pray with urgency, with intensity. And, you know, he says with repetition. Now, there are some people who say if you pray with repetition, you know, you keep praying the same thing over and over, then you're not praying in faith. That's what they say. Amen. But there comes a time, well, remember now, we're going to go to the courts of heaven first. Amen. We're going to get our word. We're going to get our verdict, our decision, and our judgment. So that's not talking about us, okay? And when we come out of the courtroom, we're going to be in faith. But there comes a time, even if the manifestation does not come, you want to put God in remembrance of what you ask and what you're believing and what you're standing for. And you want to say, thank you. You know, your prayer at that point becomes a prayer of thanksgiving. It's not a prayer of petition. Because when you come out of the courtroom of heaven, you know it's already done. It's already done. And I'm just going to thank you for it. You know, now every now and then, you know, we'll get to the point, we'll go to him and we'll say, now, Lord, I'm putting you in remembrance. You know, I'm still believing this. I'm still standing on this. I'm believing you're going to do this. I mean, you know, he don't mind you telling him that. Right. You know, it's been a long time, Lord. You know, it's been 2 weeks, Lord. Been 3 months, Lord. You know? But then we have to, this is what he's saying, we still have to be persistent and we have to persevere. Just because it doesn't show up doesn't mean it's not going to show up. Remember Abraham and Sarah. Remember, he said, you know, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a seed. Now, we don't know how long it was exactly from the time he told him until the time it actually happened. Amen? But if he did that for them, what is he going to do for us? Now, I'm beginning to feel like my apostle, though. It shouldn't take no 99 years. It shouldn't take no 10 years. Amen? Because God is just revealing so much to us. Amen? All right. Luke 18. Verses 1 through 8. Now, he's going to talk about some examples that we're familiar with. We've already talked about a lot of these. But he's going to be talking about it this time from the point of persevering or perseverance or persistence. Amen? So Luke 18, 1, verses 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. Notice that, for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, listen to that, continual coming, every day, avenge me, every day, Monday, avenge me, Tuesday, avenge me. Probably by Thursday, he said, all right, let me go ahead on, amen. He says, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Underline that if you got your Bible, speedily. Nevertheless, the Son of Man cometh. Shall he find faith on the earth? Amen. And then he gives us, okay, look. So let's talk about that one first. He says, this woman's case was a most hopeless one, but importunity or persistence or perseverance brought hope from the realms of despair and created success where neither success nor its conditions existed. Jesus knew that men would soon grow faint-hearted in praying. So to encourage us, he gives this picture of the marvelous power of persistence in prayer. That's why, you know, that's why he's telling them this. Persistence in prayer. Importunate prayer or persistent prayer, persevering prayer, surmounts or removes all obstacles. It overcomes every resisting force and gains its ends in the face of invincible hindrances. Talking about, you know, when we persevere. We can do nothing without prayer, but all things can be done by persistent, persevering prayer. Amen? And then over in Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 10, this is another one that we've looked at. Remember the friend coming at midnight? Yeah. And the Syrophoenician woman. Remember her? I guess I better read it. Luke 11, 5 through 10. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, his persistence, his persevering, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Amen. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Amen. And then over in Mark chapter 7, verse, like I said, we've looked at these before. But we're looking at it from the standpoint of perseverance now. You know, avenge me, avenge me, avenge me. Knock, 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 knock. My friend came. I need some bread. I need some bread. Amen. Amen. You know, that's the way our children do us. Did y'all know that? I mean, and they have, some of them haven't even read the Bible, but they know. They know. If I keep on, they're going to give it to me. Mark 7, 24 through 30. Mark 7. Okay. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house. And would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she sought him, that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Amen. Call a woman a dog. Amen. Verse 28, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. 29, and he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Amen. I mean, look at here. Our author, Mr. Bounds, says this Syrophoenician woman, she pressed and approached, and the pressure and approach were repulsed by the stern and crushing statement that Jesus was not sent to her kind. That's what he told her. I wasn't sent to your kind. That she was reprobated from his mission and power. She was humiliated, maybe. Doesn't say she was humiliated. She didn't sound humiliated to me, but that's what our author said. By being called a dog. I mean, you and I would be humiliated. Maybe that's what Mr. Bounds was talking about, huh? Call me a dog. Oh, my God. You know, let me get away from him. He's not who they say he is. Amen. That's what we would do. But she just stayed right there. Yet she accepted it all, overcame all, and won all by her humble, look at that, humble, dauntless, and invincible importunity, persistence, or perseverance. Amen. You know, this woman had heard about Jesus, and, you know, she felt he can do something about my daughter. And, you know, even though Jesus said all of those things, she just stayed right there. Amen. She didn't leave. She stayed there until he said, your daughter is delivered. Amen. The Son of God, pleased, surprised, overpowered by this woman's unconquerable persistence, said to her, and this is over in Matthew, you don't have to turn, Matthew 15, 28. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Amen. Jesus Christ surrendered himself to the importunity or persistence of a great faith. And then we read, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Amen. You know, so just be persistent. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't faint. Just, I like the word, hang in there. Just hang in there. Amen. Jesus presents the ability to be persistent as one of the elements of prayer, one of the main conditions of prayer. And then he gives us the lesson on persistence. The first lessons of persistence are taught in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Now, this is the one in Matthew 7 and 7, and we've gone over this before also. He says, our author says, these are steps of advance. You know, you ask first, you seek second, and then you knock. Amen? He says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Without persistence, prayers may go unanswered. Importunity is made up of the ability to hold on, to continue, to wait with unrelaxed and unrelaxable grasp. I mean, hold on, amen? Restless desire and restful patience. Persevering prayer is not an incidental occurrence, but the main thing. It's not a performance. You're not performing. It's but a passion. It's not an option, but it's a necessity. Amen? Prayer in its highest form and its grandest success, Mr. Bounds says, assumes the attitude of a wrestler with God. Amen? Assumes the attitude of a wrestler with God. And then over in Genesis 32, if we get a chance, we'll go there. We see where Jacob wrestled. I mean, you know, Bible tells us that Jacob wrestled all night. And then he told him, say, I'm not going to turn you loose till you bless me. Amen. You talk about persevering and persistent. Amen. He said, prayer is the contest. Talking about in this wrestling. It's the contest. It's the trial. And then he says, the victory of faith. It's a victory not secured from an enemy, but from him who tries our faith that he may enlarge it. Now, this is, Apostle is always telling us this about, you know, we say we have faith, and we know we have faith. We, you know, every man, Romans 12 and 3, remember that God has given, you know, to every one of us the measure of faith. We got it already. But how you know you got it if you never go through nothing? If your faith is never tried, you don't know how much faith you have until you go through something. And then when you go through something, believe it or not, your faith becomes stronger. Amen. Because you say the next time, well, he brought me through that. Amen. And I believe he will bring me through this also. You see what I'm saying? And so every test is the test of your faith. And it's to make your faith stronger and stronger. And we just have to remind ourselves what God has already done for us. That's all we have to do. Just constantly remind ourselves of how good he is and what he has done for us before. And if he did it before, he'll do it again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's see. I said a victory. Okay, talking about our faith. There is neither encouragement nor room. And you know, Mr. Bounds keep using this word religion. And it just, I wish he would have used another word instead of religion. And I think, what did I tell y'all before? Instead of religion, I said, what, spirituality or something? Relationship. Thank you so much. Yeah, relationship. There is neither encouragement nor room in the relationship of the scriptures for feeble. You know what I mean by feeble? Weak. Weak. Amen. For feeble desires, listless efforts, and I like lazy attitudes. Lazy attitudes. All must be strenuous, urgent, ardent. And he used the word inflamed, meaning on fire. Amen. On fire desires and impassioned, unwearied insistence are the things that delight heaven. Amen. Heaven, yeah, heaven is delighted when we are on fire for God. Mr. Brown said, heaven is too busy to listen to half-hearted prayers or to respond to hasty, thoughtless calls to God. Amen? Just in a hurry. Didn't take no time. You know, and that's the other thing. You know, we have to spend quality time with God. Get up early. Get up just a little bit earlier. You know, if I can't tell you. Well, I wake up early. I have always been I'm an early person. My grandma put that in me. She instilled that in me. I wake up early. Sometimes I go to bed early. I don't always go to bed early. But, you know, if you normally get up at 6, start off with 5:45 and spend that quality, quiet 15 minutes with God. Tell yourself that. You know, make up your mind, this is something I'm going to do. I'm going to do it on a daily basis. Don't do it just on Sunday or just when you're coming to class. Make this a practice. Somebody looking at me right now. make it a practice. You know, it seems that we're just so much in a hurry right now. And I think that's just what the enemy wants us to believe. He wants us to believe that we're just so much in a hurry. We don't have time for this. Oh, we're too tired for this. Everybody on television is telling us we need our rest. Your body needs rest. That's what they're telling us. And it's true. But it doesn't mean that you don't have to spend quality time with God. Amen? Because the quality time you spend with God is going to be the thing that's going to show you how to get that rest. Amen? It really is. It's going to show you. Amen. So I want y'all, just quietly, just some quiet time. Sometimes it's in the car.
That's right.
Now, I'm gonna be honest with y'all. I have spent more time praying in a vehicle because my job always had me traveling, always. And I was always by myself, usually. And I was usually driving most of the time. I would drive from Baton Rouge to Ames once a month. And so you're talking about an hour drive. And I would spend that time either listening to tapes or praying in the Holy Ghost. I have received some of my strongest revelations from God while I was driving. Now, it wasn't good to do that because your mind is not on your driving. I'm going to be honest, you know. But God is able. You know, you plead the blood of Jesus and he will take care of you. But that's the way it always is. It's always been that way for me. And maybe it was my quietest time was in the car. I don't know. I don't know what it was. But I always did. I would get in my car in the morning on my way to work, 30 minutes, you know, and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying. And halfway down the road, he starts talking to me. He starts saying something to me. I mean, yours may not be driving. You know, yours may be sitting there drinking a cup of coffee. No, drinking a cup of tea. Just quiet. Not with the television on. Sometimes not even with music, because music can be a distraction for you. also. But just you just sit there and spend, like I said, start off with like 15, 20 minutes. Now, Apostle, he sit there for hours, amen. And you know, he tell us that, you know, he sit there for hours. And then eventually, I think when you start off with 10, 15 minutes on a regular basis, before you know it, you're gonna go to 20 minutes, you know, and then he's gonna show you how you can do 30 minutes. But the main thing is to start off spending that quality time, just you and God. Lord, thank you. You know, we're learning in this class that you always start with praise and worship, always. Lord, thank you. You're so good. And then you invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you, help me. Help me to pray. And you acknowledge him. And then sometimes you're going to reach a point, you're just going to be quiet. And you're just going to listen. And then God is going to begin to speak to you. I've had people say, well, I never heard him say anything to me. He's talking. But you have to train yourself to hear. To hear. And the more you build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. Remember Jude 20. And ye are building yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. You become more sensitive to what he's saying. We started off by saying that the Holy Spirit prays through us, right? So just like he prays through us, then when heaven begins to speak, then the Holy Spirit is going to speak it in your spirit, in your born-again, recreated spirit. Apostle is teaching us a lot about our soul. And then the spirit, if that soul is not blocked up, clogged up, going to begin to speak it to the soul. And then you're going to begin to hear, start hearing these words and start receiving directions, instructions, comfort, encouragement. God is speaking. He's speaking especially today. Mm-hmm. And he wants all of us to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that understand what it is that he's saying and what it is that he wants us to do now. Amen. 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 All right, we didn't quite finish chapter 6. We just got a little bit more, and we will finish chapter 6. As far as I know, we do have class on next week. No one has said to me that we don't. It looks like, somebody's shaking their head. We don't? Okay, because on my calendar, it says your exam is the 28th. Next week is the 21st. So they're out for 2 weeks. This oh, okay. All right. So your test, test number two. Thank you so much. Test number two, it will cover chapters. What we did on exam one, two, three. Okay, exam two will be chapters 4, 5. Do not forget the video that you saw on last week. Mm-hmm. They did post the quiz for that video. I will probably take some questions from that little quiz, maybe one or two, and then only what we've covered in chapter 6. So 4, 5. And half of chapter 6, you know, up to this point. Know what importunity means. If I give it to you 5 different ways, you need to know persistence. If I say it's persistence, or if I say it's perseverance, you're supposed to know. Amen? And those are going to be the only things as far as I know. So, okay, so no class next week and no class the week after because of the exam. All righty? All right. Y'all be blessed. Amen. Amen.